Never forget that you are a warrior.
Hustle over entitlement.
Telling the stories of trailblazers and risk takers. With your hosts, Camille Stewart
and Gabriella Ziccarelli.
Welcome everyone to this week's episode of Hustle Over Entitlement. I am pleased to introduce to this week's guest, Danielle Vieira, the Senior Manager of Public Relations and Advocacy Communications at the American Diabetes Association. Welcome, Danny.
Thanks so much.
We're so excited to have you here on Hustle Over Entitlement. So a little background about why Danny was a natural fit for us. When I was talking to Camille about this podcast and what we wanted to do and the kind of people we wanted to bring on, we're thinking, what really are the qualities that we see in folks who hustle? And one of those important things is the ability to effectively communicate, whether it be your brand, whether it be for your employer or if you're your own founder, communicating effectively. And we wanted to talk to someone who was an expert in that space, but also acknowledging that sometimes part of your hustle or your pivot to a new career can really be based on your personal experiences.
In light of that, I knew the perfect person to ask, and I'm going to call her Danny. Danny is an excellent communicator. She has been steeped in this industry for years, working everywhere from the Hill to think tanks to strategic communication firms, and now at ADA. She has not only advocated for her clients with, you know, effective communication mechanism, she advocates for me as a communicator, and now she is advocating for people who are diabetic. And as a diabetic herself, her story is inspiring, and she is an amazing leader and trailblazer. So we are so excited to have you on today, Danny, and so excited to share your story.
Oh, thanks so much. I'm so excited to be here.
So tell us, what do you do?
It is kind of hard to explain what I do because it varies so differently per day. But for the most part, at the association, I help our government affairs and advocacy team kind of create campaigns. So whether it's, you know, fighting Affordable Care Act repeal or talking about what it really means to live with diabetes on a daily basis, or fighting for children that might be discriminated against at school because of their diabetes. It really varies. I mean, over the past couple of weeks, we've been just doing a lot of work with hurricane relief and trying to make sure that people with diabetes in Texas and Florida, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands are taken care of. And that still also falls into my, you know, purview. So it's an interesting job where I get to use a lot of the skills that I've gained over the past 10 years working in communications, but in a way that I probably wouldn't have even known the association worked in if I didn't work there now.
That is an awesome blend of comms and advocacy that is really touching people on a day-to-day basis. But let's take it a little bit broader than that. Beyond your, like, this is what I do in my day job, what do you do? Because you do so much more than that, have done so much more than that, and are slated to do so much more than that. So what do you do, Danny?
Potential.
So, I mean, my passion really is finding ways to communicate important things, right? So whether that's over the years in different spaces of my career, or whether that's my work on the side with organizations like Washington Women in Public Relations, where I'm the vice president, and just trying to empower women to be better communicators. Because so often I think people think that you have to work in communications to be a good communicator, and that is clearly not true. Most of what we get done in a day, whether, you know, you work in tech or government or retail, is really finding ways to communicate with people effectively and getting them to basically do what you want them to do. So I think that I've kind of fallen into a space that works for me in the skills that I'm good at. And luckily, that is communication. So that's kind of, I guess that's like a broad way of saying that's what I do and what I love, is that I'm just passionate about telling people's stories and influencing people to take steps to do great things in this world.
Excellent.
You know, Danny, and it's wonderful to look at your biography. It's so vast, the amount and the types of companies and organizations that you've spoken on behalf of as a communications professional. So my question for you is, in that process, as a comm professional, you know, how do you stay authentic to who you are and your voice, but also remain a fierce advocate for these very different organizations that you speak on behalf of in your role?
I have to say that is probably the biggest challenge, particularly working in DC, right? Where we work in a city where cultural norms aren't really the same in the workplace. You know, most jobs, you don't talk about politics, you don't talk about religion, you don't talk about, you know, social justice and those kinds of things unless you work in those fields. Mm-hmm. But I think in the Beltway, we always talk about that stuff, and it's not taboo in that same kind of way, right? And so I've worked in Republican offices. I am not a Republican. I've worked for Republican clients. I'm not a Republican. I've worked for conservative causes, even though I'm quite liberal and progressive. But I think that it comes down to finding where your values match, right? Like, even if I can be in an office or have a client who doesn't have the same political values mm-hmm. that I have, at the end of the day, and I think where I always drew the line, even when I worked in organizations where I wasn't always on that same wavelength politically, is that I will support you if you are trying to do something that I support, right? You might be conservative in your values, but the work that you're doing is going to help people on both sides of the aisle, you know, get jobs at the end of the day. Fine. Happy to help you in doing what you're doing. If you vote for a presidential candidate that I don't support, I got to get over that, because at the end of the day, we're not all going to be coming from the same political landscape, but we are kind of trying to reach that same goal. And I think it helps us. It kind of behooves us to try to force ourselves to work outside of our usual bubble. And so that's really helped me get better at what I do by being in a room with people that don't always agree with me and having to find that, you know, that way again of convincing them to do what I want them to do.
that's an important point. I think part of your, even though we're talking about communication, a big part of that is listening. And so really mm-hmm. listening to folks who may be from different walks of life of you. And that's important as you progress in your career and in your hustle, being open to all those different perspectives, because it may lead you down a road you didn't expect to be in, right?
100%. I mean, I would say probably half of the jobs I've gotten have been because I worked in a senator's office when I first got to DC after I graduated from college, and he was a Republican, and they knew I wasn't a Republican. I was happy to work for him, and I really liked him as a human and agreed with probably about half of his political leanings. But out of that job came almost every job I had after that, and one of the like best jobs I've had in my career right before I came to the association. So you really don't know where things are going to lead you. And I think it's so important to kind of surround yourself with people, obviously, that want the same things you do and have the same values you do, but that doesn't always mean that they're coming from the same background or looking at things through the same lens.
That is such an important point. And in this political landscape and in just navigating, you know, professional spaces in general, it is important to recognize that you learn a lot and gain a lot from a diverse group of people, right? Mm-hmm. Being faced with your perspective at all times is never a means of growing or evolving. Mm-hmm. And so, exactly. So embodying mm-hmm. that and embracing that in your professional life is an excellent thing to have done. And I'm not surprised that it's yielded so much in your professional life. But one of the things that I'm very interested in and want to highlight is that passion is something that can also drive your career and drive pivots in your career. And so I've had the pleasure of knowing Dani my entire life. And at a very young age, she was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And that has played a major role in her latest pivot to working at the ADA. So talk to us about that and what led you to make that jump and how you found making that pivot.
Yeah, so I always joke that I am probably not the best like diabetes spokesperson, because I was diagnosed at age 11. my family was extremely supportive. My church family and extended family were extremely supportive. I was surrounded by really great healthcare providers, really great teachers at school that didn't make anything more difficult for me than it already was. And I had very few actual diabetes hurdles, right? I think now that I work at the association, I've realized just how many hurdles there are and how many I never experienced. Right. But I've always kind of been a huge healthcare advocate and felt that healthcare and education were kind of my sweet spots when it came to communications and comms strategies. And I met somebody through my work with Washington Women in PR who was on the board with me. And how sometimes you have those women in meetings, particularly on your volunteer boards where they don't work with you, but you're just amazed by them every time they open up their mouths. That's how this woman was. Her name's Veronica. She just every meeting that we had, I was I have to be her friend. I have to learn from her. I just need to be a better communicator like she is. And small, small world, she moved over to the association and took a job as the vice president of strategic communications. Wow. And I saw that she had moved. I reached out to her and I said, hey, I have always wanted to work for a diabetes advocacy group. I haven't really had a chance yet. Tell me how things are going at the association and let me know if you have any openings. And she got back to me immediately and was like, I actually am building my team right now. Send me your resume. Mm-hmm. And so it just kind of was this beautiful moment of your networking just blossoming 3 years later. I met her a long time ago.
Right.
And it just kind of turned into this kismet moment that God had created for me. And so I took the position and really didn't know what I was getting into. I have to be honest, I have always been a JDRF girl because I have type 1 diabetes. JDRF is very focused on juvenile diabetes and type 1 community, right? And for people that don't know kind of the statistics around diabetes, about 5 to 10% of people with diabetes have type 1 diabetes. The vast majority has type 2 diabetes. So the association works with both types of diabetes, including gestational and all of the other diabetes diagnoses. So I just had no idea what the association did. I came on board and I was blown away. It was just my dream job to be able to learn more about diabetes in a way that probably is making me better at handling this disease every day, but then also kind of learn just what an organization of this scope and breadth can do when the communications team is in lockstep with the mission team. And it took a long time for us to get there, but I really think we are there with this org, and it's amazing for me to see every day. So I'm kind of living my dream job.
That's what we want to hear. I mean, that's the whole point. No, I would love that because that's the hope, right? Is if you continue to do the things you love, it's going to lead you to something you love even more. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're in this moment. You're having your moment, right? Where you're getting to shine. And, quick question on, with the American Diabetes Association, something that I've noticed just from my own personal experience is one of my good friends grew up with diabetes as well. And I remember her being very almost embarrassed of it. She would hide the fact that she had diabetes when we were growing up. But then my brother had a friend who also had diabetes only a couple of years later, and there was almost a tide turn. It's okay that you have diabetes. Let's talk about it. So my question for you is, in your role as a comms person now with ADA, how are you staying resilient in the way that you're, moving and changing the message to accommodate where we are as a society? And a bigger step from that is, how can professionals do that to stay resilient in how they communicate who they are and how they're evolving as professionals as they're making their pivot or continuing on their hustle?
So I think I would say that more often than not, people are experiencing what your friend experienced, right? And it also kind of changes with age and maturity and the people that you surround yourself with. And a big part of my job is that storytelling advocacy part where people need to know that you're not the only one in the room having this feeling, right? And I didn't even realize until I started working at the association how much I was downplaying my disease, how much I wasn't taking opportunities to educate people about what this means, and that this isn't like just, oh, I take a pill every day and I'm fine. Like every moment of my everyday is thinking through choices that affect my diabetes. It's either like, should I eat this and then take my insulin? And then what happens if I didn't adjust properly? And now my blood sugar is low and I'm out with my girlfriends and I have to like go over into the corner and have a glucose tab or order some orange juice. And like, it throws off your whole rhythm half of the time. And that's not even when you're at work and in a meeting and your blood sugar drops, or if you're having a bad day and your blood sugar is high most of the day and you're lethargic and thirsty and annoyed. Like it's just, I think that the advocacy and the communications part for those of us who are patients, but also those of us that are loved ones of people living with chronic illness, is that you can't keep it all to yourself. You have to share, because half of the time, it's not that people are trying to discriminate against you or make you feel bad. They just don't understand.
They don't know, right?
Yeah, they have no frame of reference. And a lot of people think diabetes is one thing and it's really another. And that's the other thing that, you know, I've found that I never really realized was a stigma, was that with type 2 diabetes, there is so much stigma around type 2 diabetes. And it often becomes this kind of like type 1s versus type 2 ridiculousness that I think it's really fun to now be at a job where like we get this challenge of finding a way to bring this community together and uplift all of them. That's awesome. And so it's like, it's interesting to me, because I do find that like, as like, I'm now 31 and I feel like my girlfriends and my friends are all kind of having their own health struggles. You know, you get older and things start popping out and people, you know, everybody's got something. And that's so right. it does like get to a point where you have to be your own health advocate, even when it's not about health, right? Like even when it's just like, I'm just letting you know that today is not a great day for me and I'm going to need these things to get through it. And so I feel like it's beyond, you know, those of us that do live daily with a chronic illness, but it's beyond that. It really does become, you know, when you go into work and when you are in your daily life, like just trying to be kind to people and think about the fact that like your struggle is a constant struggle, but so is somebody else's. And if you can, you know, if you can just make that a little bit easier and make that a little bit, I don't know, just more, yeah, like open that conversation, because we're all like dealing with something that we don't really want to talk about, right?
Well, that's an important point, right? No, I mean, it's part of, we always encourage the hustle and the grind, but part of being an effective hustler is that you take self-care seriously.
Mm-hmm. Know your limits.
Exactly.
And I'm so glad you said this, because it's about communicating that. And, you know, if you're healthy, you're going to be able to hustle harder. And the health is going to come with that. So I'm glad you said that.
Yes. And so on top of all that, so there's something you mentioned that I don't want to gloss over. You are the vice president of Washington Women in PR, slated to be the president. You do all of that on top of all of this advocacy work, your day job, you know, helping your friends like me, you know, communicate themselves. So how do you balance all of that? So let's talk about the work that you're doing in Washington Women in PR, because one of the things that I think is really important is reaching across, reaching down, reaching up, and making those linkages. And quite frankly, that's how you got into your job. And so let's talk about, you know, the importance of community and the importance of, you know, doing things outside of work that you're passionate about and how those things come together.
So your first question, I have a horrible answer to, because I'm not balancing it well.
That's real though.
To be honest, I feel like I am surrounded by overachievers, and I like have this desire to live up to everybody. So I wish I was balancing things well, but half the time I just feel like I'm running from one meeting, to the next brunch, to the next like happy hour, to the next like external interview. It's just all kind of like melded into one thing. And I haven't quit anything yet, so I guess I like all of the things I'm doing.
And they're balancing it well, and everybody's loving what you're doing.
But you know, like, I mean, I'm talking to two other extremely well-achieved women, so I know you also feel this, but half the time I have complete imposter syndrome where I feel like I'm not doing any of this well, and it's nobody's noticed yet, but they're going to notice. And that's kind of how I got to this position in WWPR. Like, I think I just loved this organization so much that I didn't mind doing extra tests, and I joined in as a committee member 5 years ago. And within 2 years, somebody was like, hey, I'd like to put you up for a board position. And I said, okay, sure. Mm-hmm. And now here I am 3 years later. And so I have to say, like, when you find an org, particularly a professional organization, that makes you feel like it's family, why not? Like, why not put some of your extra time into it? And that's how I felt about Washington Women in PR, was that it was full of women that I wanted to be like, and then it was also full of women that I enjoyed being with. So the extra hours and the board meetings and the volunteer activities just didn't, it stresses me out before it happens, but then I'm at the activity and I'm like, oh yeah, this is why I do this stuff. Yeah.
And I'm glad you're saying that, because that's a big part of the hustle that I wanted to focus on, is that when you're doing something that brings you joy, that you're good at, that you love, it doesn't feel like extra work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's this favorite quote of mine, is that when you let your light shine, you inspire others to do the same. And it sounds like these women you met did that for you, and now you're doing that. You may not realize it, or maybe you do, but you're doing that for other women, and also for us today on this episode. So thank you for sharing that excitement, because I think that's something you can't teach people, to be excited and have that passion, that drive. And that's what sets this whole concept of hustle versus entitlement. Entitlement is going through the motions, right? But hustle, that is your fire and your energy. And that really comes through when we talk to you, Dani.
Thank you. So honored that they even chose me to be president of this thing. I'm just like, what?
Real, recognize real.
And your humility will carry you far.
On that note, you know, talking about these extra things, right? Part of the extra is often just getting educated and knowing what resources are available to you. So we always ask those who are on our show, you know, what are things you can share with our listeners? Maybe your favorite resources, everything from a podcast to a blog that you love, that you'd like to share with our listeners today.
So yesterday I was listening to Angela Rye's On One podcast, which I'm like obsessed with now. Between hers and How I Built This, which I also love, 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 I think those are like my fun, I'm trying to learn things but also be entertained podcasts. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the usual, you know, Two Dope Queens and stuff like that. Yeah. But, but I do feel like I would say my biggest resource is in-person activities. So I am a huge fan of joining a professional society. Whatever field you're in, find one that you can afford. Mm-hmm. And if you can't afford it and you work for an organization that can, ask your boss. But, you know, like, find a really great professional organization where you can hone your skills, because so often, particularly as women, we're like the only woman in the room, or maybe we're the only communicator on our team or whatever. And you will always need people to bounce ideas off of, people that have gotten to the pinnacle of their career that you want to get to. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those are the only opportunities you get to be in the room with those people. It's great to have articles and podcasts and activities that you can listen to on your own in your own time, but taking a moment to connect in real time with real people that can enrich your life is just so much more important.
Paying it forward.
Yes, that's important. And to echo one of the points that you made, you know, when you don't have mentors or people doing the thing that you're doing at work, mm-hmm. joining a professional organization gives you that mentorship, right? Mm-hmm. Affords you the opportunity to forge relationships where you can turn to someone, and sometimes even better that they're not in your organization, and say, this is what's going on. How do I navigate this space? Right. So that is a great recommendation. The question that defines our podcast that we ask everyone is, what song defines your journey?
So mine is Emily Sandé's Wonder. And I think it's just because, like, number one, I love Emily Sandé. But, but also because that song is just so, it's so uplifting in this, like, really fun dance around your room kind of way. And it's just very much like, you are full of light. You are full of a light that you should be sharing with other people. And don't forget that. Like, don't take a moment of time to think that you are by yourself or not valuable, or that your voice isn't valuable. And I more often than not am a people pleaser. And so sometimes that does not transition well into professional worlds. So I need something that'll remind me to kind of like speak up and know, like, have that moment where you know that your expertise is valid and relevant and you need to share it and make sure that you're heard and make sure that you are bringing yourself to the table every time and giving your best in whatever situation that you're in.
I think that is the perfect note to end on. Don't forget that your voice is valuable. Mm-hmm. And you've shown that in a number of different ways, in a number of different industries, but always staying true to your core skill set. And, you know, one of the things we've talked about is like having multiple careers over a lifetime, and you've had multiple careers in the same space, which is very cool. So I encourage you all to take Dani's advice and let your voice be heard in every room and every space that you're in, and never, you know, let anybody quash your light. So Dani, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me and for starting this podcast. I'm so excited.
Oh, we're pumped too. So thanks so much. And to our listeners, we'll catch you next time on Hustle Over Entitlement. Hustle Over Entitlement. What do you hustle for?
Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at iHustleForIt. And visit our website, www.hustleoverentitlement.com.